Oh, Father God, we're gathered here to hear your wisdom, and so we ask you to prepare our hearts to hear that. And I ask that you would speak through my words, and it would be your truth that would touch our lives, that would challenge us in ways that we need to be challenged, and would encourage us that you want what's best for us, even if these things are hard to hear sometimes. Teach us, Lord, and lead us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're back on the break from the Jesus Among Secular Gods. I'll just kind of sprinkle this in. For those of you who are academically minded, you can be patient. For those who are not, you'll go, "Ooh, thank you." On a break, it's Christmas time. We've kind of already touched on that. I don't know, usually we like to hold off on that in the Lutheran Church. I love the way we smuggled in a little bit of Christmas, you know, a little Christmas carol, because just waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. It's like robbing ourselves sometimes, because it's a challenge to keep waiting, I think. And you know, there's swinging the other way, like Jan was saying, all the way out to Veterans Day. That's crazy to start Christmas carols that early. I wonder if that kind of robs some of the magic out of Christmas. In fact, I wonder how you guys are feeling about Christmas right now. Is it you know, it's another Christmas? Has it lost some of that magic for you? Or do you still feel that way? I mean, maybe not as, like you did when you were a little kid. But this season before Christmas. In fact, I wonder, we talked about this Tuesday, I wonder if you even know what Advent means. It's a word that's not used all that much, but if I had to guess, I would have guessed something different than it actually turned out to be. Advent means the beginning, or, you know, embarking, the start of something. And if I had to guess, I would have guessed Advent means waiting. Because that's what it always feels like. The whole season of Advent is all about waiting for Christmas. All the messages about waiting. And I would think, why, man? This is when I started doing sermon series. Because nobody likes to wait. Nobody wants to hear about waiting. And I think that's really kind of highlighted something that is a problem in our culture today. That's, I think, why Christmas isn't quite the same as it used to be. I think we have lost our ability to wait. We're just not very good at it anymore. We've forgotten how to do it. Those of you who are my age or older, you probably remember, there's no such thing as even the Cartoon Network, much less being able to look at stuff on your phone. You remember when cartoons were available? Saturday morning, that was it. That got a kid out of bed, right, at 6:30 in the morning. Because if you weren't there watching Bugs Bunny, that was it. You weren't going to see it again until the next Saturday. There's no just catching it on a channel whenever you wanted. That was not available. We learned how to wait for it. We learned how to look forward to it. And man, we don't really do that anymore. Think about how many things are available immediately to you. You don't even have to shop anymore. You know that? You just order stuff on Amazon on your phone and it just gets delivered to your house. Are you kidding me? You had to be a celebrity or something for that to happen before. And now anybody can have that. Lori and I drove down to Bothell to pick up a couple dogs last night, and there was a traffic accident on 5, and we're sitting there kind of in traffic, and of course, her phone's going to tell us the fastest way to get there. Except I see everybody else getting off to go on 405 because everybody else's phone is telling them the fastest way to get there. And that's all we're interested in doing. Anybody ever, I won't ask for a show of hands, anybody ever been pulled over by a policeman who told you you're going too fast, and then they said these genius words? You know, you won't get any faster, you won't get there any faster. Right? Anybody? Yeah, I know you're thinking, yeah, it was me. Where did this guy go to school? I mean, he couldn't have done very well in word problems. Of course I was going to, I mean, now I'm not going to get there any faster. But I was going to get there a heck of a lot faster if you hadn't pulled me over. And that's what we're interested in. We all want to get there faster. One of my favorite little clips from The Simpsons right here. Your meatloaf will be ready in 8 seconds, Homer. Don't! Isn't there anything faster than a microwave? I can't wait 8 seconds for my meatloaf. The microwave, I pop stuff in the microwave all the time. And I'm thinking, wow, another 30 seconds? My grandparents, my grandmother heated everything back up, either on the stove or in the oven. My parents bought her a microwave. And before we left for that visit, it was already just stored under the cabinet somewhere. She didn't have anything to do with it. And I don't know that her life... I mean, at the time, I thought, wow, what? I can't believe she wants to wait so long. But now I think maybe her life was not any poorer for not engaging in the immediate right now, no waiting mentality that is just everywhere. Because what's a big deal, right? Who needs to wait? Well, let me ask you this. Has anybody heard of the Stanford just a show of hands, the Stanford marshmallow experiment? This is a fairly famous experiment that went on a long time ago now. I mean, it wasn't, if you haven't thought about it for a while, it was a long time ago. University of Stanford conducted an experiment with a bunch of like 5-year-old kids. And the experiment's pretty simple. You pulled the kids in and you gave them a marshmallow, a big, fat, delicious, sugary marshmallow. And you told them if they could wait, then they would get 2 marshmallows. You didn't tell them exactly how long, but you sat them down alone in a room to see if they could wait and get double the reward. And the kids, if you Google this, just watch these things. These kids, it's torture, but it's like friendly torture. As kids just try not to. Some of them give in, and some of them wait and get that second marshmallow. But here's the payoff. They followed these kids along years after, and they found that the kids who were able to wait did better in school. They got better grades. Later on, they got better jobs. They had more successful careers, made more money, which isn't everything, I know. But in general, they just did better at life. Because waiting is a skill that really is important to us, as much as we don't want to do it. See, what it really comes down to, I think, is this is an issue of control. Because if you don't have to wait, you're not going to wait. The celebrities don't wait for things because they are in control, right? Except really, I think, this is more about an illusion of control. Really, that's all we're doing. When we take shortcuts, when we circumvent any waiting, all we're doing is reinforcing this illusion of control. Because for the really, really important things in life, there's still no shortcuts. The make or break kind of things. I don't know if any of you have maybe had a season of joblessness, or someone close to you has had a season where they're looking for a job. You know, they've been downsized, they've lost their past job, and they're looking for a new one, and they buy the suits, and they practice their interview skills, and they work on their resume over and over and over again until you can't even recognize that it's still you. And you go in for interviews, and you go in for callback interviews, and still the phone doesn't ring. You can't speed it up because there's no getting around some waiting. I don't know if any of you have ever gone through a period of waiting or trying to get pregnant, or known somebody again close to you who's tried to get pregnant. And man, something that's supposed to be so fun becomes so stressful. Really, so difficult. If you've ever sold a house, if you've ever done something really important, if you've ever had one of those tests that's supposed to come back from the doctor and you're really nervous about the results, there's no shortcuts for that. Waiting is really difficult, but again, for the very most grave, important, serious things around, there's just no way around waiting. But could we possibly, in our heart of hearts, imagine that there's something in waiting that is good for us? To get rid of this illusion of control, because that's all it is. is just an illusion. I think waiting in those circumstances removes the veil, this illusion of, yeah, we're in control. All I have to do is just ask for it on my phone and things just appear. But when that's swept away, we realize we're not really in control about the most important things in life. And if that's the truth, then maybe we're being done a favor by removing the illusion. Well, we read the gospel lesson earlier. I'm going to take a different version, a slightly different version. It's found in Matthew, but I'd like to look at it here. And it's the same story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was, we heard those words before, greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." These are good news. These are good words, aren't they? We hear them like that, right? We're very familiar with this. This is what kids sometimes stand up and read in the Christmas play. I think Linus read that one time for us. They're beautiful, encouraging words, but we've heard them so long ago that I think we've forgotten, if we ever really understood it, how Mary would have received those in the first place. Would she have heard this as good news? It was usually kind of scary to meet an angel, and that might have been part of the reason that she was greatly troubled, but I'll tell you why else she was greatly troubled. Because she was not yet married to Joseph. She could have been killed for being pregnant out of wedlock. That's enough to greatly trouble pretty much anybody, getting stoned to death, isn't it? This is a troubling greeting that Mary has received. And to make matters worse, this is the kind of thing that's not going to be over very quickly. You're going to conceive and then bear a child. Well, how long is that going to take? Exactly. Mary had a vision for her future, and this was not it. I promise you, whatever hopes and dreams, being a woman who's pregnant before she's supposed to be pregnant isn't anybody's dream. This illusion of control that she had over her life was smashed in an instant by this good news for us, but by this news it wasn't really good for her. And like I said, even worse, it's not even going to be over. It can't just be like getting up on the high dive and jumping off and then, well, that's it. On the way down you can regret it, but it won't take that long and it'll be over pretty quick. It's going to be 9 months, most of which she's going to be showing. And make matters even worse than that, it's not even over once Jesus is born. You know, he was 30 before his ministry started, and she could begin to see what he was actually sent here to do. Can you imagine waiting that long for the good news that has been the thing that has just derailed your life? Consider that sweet Christmas play, Mary. Can you imagine just for a second what that was really like to experience that news and then waiting and waiting for the good news to come at the end of all of that shame and all of that excluding that she must have experienced? Well, let's take a look at her response. "How will this be?" asked Mary of the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." This is a small miracle, perhaps, that Mary responds, "I am the Lord's servant."
Mary answered, "May your word be to me fulfilled." And the angel left her. Mary's surrender. It's never easy. It could not possibly have been easy for her. And I wonder how many times she had to re-surrender her life. But I also wonder what took place in between that time where she began to wait and what God did in her life, because she surrendered that illusion of control. Because there's benefits in the waiting, not just being able to wait. There's amazing things that can happen when you wait. There's a movie called You've Got Mail. I'd ask people to raise their hands. Some people would raise them proudly, and some people would be like, I guess my wife or girlfriend wanted to see that, so I sat down. It's not the one, it's Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan eventually, but that doesn't even narrow it down enough, does it? Don't worry about that. There's a scene at the beginning, that's all I want to talk about. A scene at the beginning where Tom Hanks is trapped in an elevator. Some of you may actually remember this. He's trapped in the elevator with the elevator guy, with his fiancée, who's not Meg Ryan, and with another stranger. And what happens is the elevator stops. The elevator guy just pushes all the buttons, because that's what you do, right? They even suggest, hey, let's just all jump up and down one time. The elevator will think it's empty, and then maybe it'll start up again, and you think, no, it won't. But if you're stuck there, you try it, right? And so they do, and eventually, after calling for help, they say, fine, and they sit down, because there's nothing left to do but wait. And it's when they start to reflect in that waiting that a lot of important things go on. I'm not going to make you watch a film clip for once, because poor Cher, she gets stuck with the film clips all the time. So sometimes I have mercy on you guys. I'll just tell you, the elevator operator actually decides that he's going to marry Louise, his longtime girlfriend. He says, I love her. Why am I waiting? I don't know why I've resisted this for so long. I'm going to marry her. I should marry her. The woman that you don't really know anything about, she's holding the dog, says, I'm going to start talking to my mother. They've been fighting for years, apparently, and she's decided she's going to start speaking to her again. Tom Hanks realizes the character of Parker Posey is a horrible woman, so he's not going to get married to her. Changes the course of his life. And why? Because they were forced to wait on an elevator and reflect on the decisions they've been making in their life, that they've just been going along too busy to stop and think about things. But when they're forced to stop and to think about things, they realize, I'm holding on to a feud with my mother. And so long, you don't even think about these things until it's too late. I should marry her. I shouldn't marry her. And waiting affords this opportunity that we may not enjoy while it's going on, but if we just embrace it and lean in, well, maybe it would be for our own good. Got a little experiment. I was going to isolate just like one person, but I don't want to do that. Instead, I'm going to take the word silk. And what I would like complete audience participation. So can we do that? I'm going to ask if we can do that. And if you're going to participate, just say yes. It'll be a good practice. Can we do that? Yes. All right. Fabulous. What I want, I'm going to ask you to say silk 5 times with me, kind of fast. And then I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to just shout out the answer. Okay? So no hesitation. We're just going to say it. Ready? 5 times. 1, 2, 3. Silk. 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 What do cows drink? What do cows drink? Cows drink water. Right? Does anybody not know that cows drink water? We all know that, see? Why did you say milk? Because we didn't stop. We didn't wait. Anybody given a little bit of time to stop and reflect? We know darn well cows drink water. How many other things are we just rushing through when we could just give in and surrender? But when I say surrender, we're not just surrendering to the weight. What if the surrender wasn't done to something impersonal? We weren't saying, okay, universe, you're not ready to give me my answer yet. I'll just wait. What if we were surrendering to a person? And not just any person. What if we were surrendering to a person who is wiser than anyone you will ever meet, and kinder and more loving than anyone you have ever even heard of, and is more familiar with you and everything about you than your own mother or father, best friend, who knows your comings and your goings, who loves you with an unreasonable, scary love? What if we were surrendering to a person like that? Who wanted good things for us, who wanted us to have some time to reflect and wanted to teach us? And what if we knew that that person was waiting with us? Would that change the way that we were able to wait for things? Would that let us trust and let us give in to the wait to see what that person has in store for us? Let's pray. Father God, it's easy for me to say that we should give in to the weight. But you know my heart, Lord, and you know that I'm not really so good at that. And I think probably a lot of us aren't either. So I just ask that you would remind me as well as the people here today that the words I said are true, and that you are waiting with us, and that you do want good things for us. And that you are standing right next to us so that we are not ever waiting alone. That you have proven your feelings for us, your love for us. And you would encourage us in a season of waiting to be patient and reflective and to lean on you and to give up that illusion of control, because the one who is in control is the only one we should trust. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.